I'm Paul Baalbeck III, for anyone out there that doesn't know. Today is 12/5/2021. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, going verse by verse. And I wasn't today we're going to be in Ephesians 1:15, but I think I had left off where I didn't get to 14 last time. So we'll just look at that. Because really what I prepared for is one verse, Ephesians 1:15, but we're going to look at 14. And let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful grace that only comes through Christ Jesus. Every blessing we have is because we're in Him, by Him, and through Him. So we just want to magnify His name this morning. May your Holy Spirit, as always, be the real teacher. May you empower me and the pastor at the church service to just exegete your word, to dig out the spiritual treasures, and that we might rejoice in your grace, because I know it's your will for us to rejoice. And may everything be done to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the name of my message is Genuine Faith Should Bear the Fruit of Love. See, if you know how I always say you haven't really grasped grace till grace has grasped your heart. Because sometimes we get details, right? We study maybe some books on rightly dividing, and it's good, we need to know how to rightly divide. But as the pastor said, that's not an end in itself. You don't keep studying right division. You study so you learn how to study the word rightly divided. So why? So you can study the word, right? In context. And then why are you studying the word? Is it just to get, impress people with your knowledge of the scriptures? No, it's to apply the word. Word of God is what? Living and active, right? It's a double-edged sword. You're going to need this because Satan attacks believers, and especially grace believers. Because remember, God kept the secret, Paul calls a mystery, right? And in that mystery, because God kept the secret, Satan carried out his will. Satan didn't know he was going to form the body of Christ, bring in the dispensation of grace, and all that whole body of sound doctrine, truth that Paul gives us. And so Satan hates the message of the mystery. But we're so blessed to know it. Aren't you glad you know it? And not that we're there, like Paul said. Not that I've apprehended. He said he wasn't there. God's working continually in our hearts. Aren't you glad that it's God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure? He takes pleasure in working with you. I find pleasure in that, because I would get aggravated with myself, and I do sometimes, but thank God He's, I come up short, as Bill always reminds me. So let's get to the verse. We'll go to 14. Actually, go back up to 13, just for 12 for context. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth. And what does that bring you to? Another verse that should make you think of. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth, right? And in that word of truth, you have a gospel that saves today. It ain't a gospel of time past, like Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, right? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you receive the Holy Spirit. That ain't the gospel today. There's a lot of people, that's what they're preaching in church today. They're going back to Pentecost. They want to get the tongues and the signs and the wonders, right? Instead of getting on to Ephesians, our heavenly, God's heavenly program. where we're citizens of heaven, where we're seated with Christ Jesus in our union with him, right? And so, I don't want to repeat last time's message, but in 13, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed. See, it's not enough to just know the gospel, to be brought up in church and hearing it every week. You got to believe the gospel. You got to place your, make a decision by an act of your will to choose to trust that Christ died for your sins, right? According to the scriptures, he was buried and he rose victorious, according to the scriptures, right? And you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See, the moment you believed, not when you got water baptized, right? Now, 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So that's the Holy Spirit. He's that seal. He seals us. We are God's. And we're sealed with his Spirit. You know, we have God's seal of approval. We're accepted in the beloved, right? And so, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So, they got a thing on Facebook, discussion on, what's that? OSAS. Once saved, always saved. And somebody says, you know, I don't see why people think with the verses that say you gotta persevere. Excuse me for my phone here. By the way, that reminds me, turn your phones down and I'll be the first. And I'll keep my mind where I was thinking. Where there's verses that says you gotta persevere till the end and things like that. And somebody says, oh, they like believing that so they can just go out and sin. And so I had to respond to that one. Yeah, I said, have you read Titus 2, 11 through 14? That grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, right? Say no to it, live upright and godly, and it causes us to have a zeal for good works. I says, I believe in Christ's all-sufficient and finished work. And if you think a person can lose their salvation, then you ain't trusting in his all-sufficient and finished work. You're depending on yourself for salvation. And so that goes completely against scripture. But think about it. There's verses, Jesus said, unless you persevere till the end, you can't enter the kingdom, right? But what's the context? That's Matthew 24. The context is, he's preparing them to go through the tribulation period. See how important it is to rightly divide the word? He's not talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to Israel and his disciples, right? And that earthly prophetic program. Only Christ gives us our commands through Paul, right? So we go to Paul to find out we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have eternal security. Praise God for that. I always say, you know, I lose my keys, I've lost friends, you know, I've lost relationships in times past. Praise God, I finally got the right one. But I will lose my salvation, but I can't. I can't even blow that. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Because sometimes, you know, you don't even feel saved when you're allowing the flesh to express itself, right? But knowing the doctrine, right? Knowing the doctrine, sound doctrine, that you know you got that helmet of salvation because you know you're eternally secure. You know it's Christ's life in you. And praise God, you know, I've heard it said, and I totally agree with it. We shouldn't ask God, how can a Christian do that? No Christian could really do that. We should ask, how could God do anything good through us? That's grace, baby. So, we're guaranteed heaven. Now, we're saved, and you don't got to do anything. God's not going to punish you like Israel, where he said, if you do these things, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. And you don't got to do one thing for the Lord. You can waste your whole Christian life. You can live like the devil, live like before you were saved. But boy, you're wasted. See, grace teaches us to live upright and godly, right? It teaches us to have a labor of love and the work of faith. You know, but here's what happens. You get saved, and then we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So Paul says the love of God compels us, right? It's like a wind in the sail that pushes the ship along. So we want to serve God. Didn't you want to serve God when you first got saved? I did. Man, I was the Jesus freak of the hood. Oh, there's Muggsy. He's going to talk to you about Jesus, you know. Probably cross the street when they see me, you know. Nobody told me. I wasn't even in church. I got saved through watching Christian TV. I never followed the guy now. You know, his doctrine is. But he got the gospel right. You know, God can use any believer. But, you know, to truly be more available, more usable, we got to rightly divide the word. So we're sharing the right things, telling people how to walk in the Spirit, right? How to be filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. Be not drunk on wine, right? Which is an excess, or one version says, which is debauchery. That means like an alcoholic. But be filled with the Spirit. So whatever your dependence on is going to fill you. So when we first get saved, I did anyway. And I think any true believer wants to serve God. You didn't even know when you're sharing the gospel and stuff, you were serving God. You had that joy and you had that peace and that emptiness was filled, right? And so, you know, when you love somebody, you just want to share, right? What about grandmas? You ever see a grandma say, you want to see some pictures of my grandkid? And the thing goes, you know, from her purse all the way to the back of the room, right? And you can't shut her up. You'd be like, okay, excuse, no, one more. Yeah. See my grandchild, my kids, like when you're first, remember when you're first, if you're a parent and your child, boy, that's how I talked about it. Or you meet somebody and you fall in love and your friends get sick of it. It's like, they just won't shut up about him or her, you know? But then you gotta learn something, because you wanna serve God and you're trying to serve God and you start falling on your face. It's a good place. Terrible place when you're there. But you have to learn something. It's no longer I who live. I live, but not I, but Christ in me, right? You got to learn to depend upon Christ in you and express himself through you. And then you have to learn to appropriate by faith, Romans chapter 6, right? Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. That's worship, presenting your body to God, right? And so that's very important. I think even in grace circles, there's a lot of, you know, and Scripture, Paul exhorts us about serving the Lord, right? And different things, ministry. But sometimes we're told we should because of Christ and that, but we're not told how. Dependence on Christ. You know, a guy built this church as pastor, and it was growing and growing and growing, and you know what happened? It just fell apart because he did it in his own strength and his own cleverness. Yeah. We have to depend on Christ, and who gets the glory then? You know, if I'm gifted to be able to teach or to preach, I always think I got nothing to brag about, because whatever we have, we get from God, right? If you got brains, sorry, Jeff, you know I ain't talking about you. Just messing my steps on. God gave it to you, right? If you're good looking, God gave it to you. If you're a little taller, Bill, can't talk about it. God gave it to you. You know, so that's why we give God all the glory. So let's go now. You see at the end of 14, which is earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Who should we give the glory to if God uses us? We shouldn't get puffed up. We should just be so thankful. God can use little old me. Yeah.
Amen.
Wherefore, and now we're in 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. The name of my message, genuine faith should bear the fruit of love. In the Ephesians churches, what was Paul hearing about them? Their faith in the Lord Jesus. And faith needs an object, right? People go, oh, I got faith. I got faith. Naming and claiming, blabbing and grabbing. No, faith needs an object. My faith ain't in my faith. Our faith should be in Christ. It should be in God's Word, that body, the whole Scripture, but especially, we study all of God's Word, right? It's all profitable. But we're only going to get the most profit when we study it the way God what designed it, to be rightly divided, right? And so we study all the Word of God, but especially Paul's epistles, we major in them. Like every, you know, I just finished reading the Old Testament again. I start out, every day I try and get in some chapters in the Old Testament and then two or three of Paul's chapters in his epistles. So by the time I go through the whole Bible, I went over Paul's epistles because that's directly to us and about us, right, in the body of Christ. And so that's why it's so important to stay in the Word too, right? Because it works in you. It spiritually energizes you. It directs you. You know, sometimes it convicts us. You know, you're not walking like who you are. I got to remind myself, what's Paul say? Take every thought captive, right? You got to remind yourself sometimes. Say, you know what? I ain't been focused that much. Or, you know, it's God's will for us to rejoice. Are you rejoicing? Have you been rejoicing this week? I like John Fredrickson. He did an article a little while back in the Berean Searchlight. And he was talking about how we can learn to rejoice, you know, but we got to get in this word, memorize this word, right, and apply this word. Give thanks in all things. God's working all things for your good, right? See, we develop holy habits. That's what I call it. Of giving thanks. You got to, in a way, and I watch when I say discipline, because, you know, the Holy Spirit produces self-control. That's fruit of Spirit, right? But we need to, I like maybe better exercise our minds, and get in habits of dwelling on things that we're grateful to God for. And you can't help but rejoice. Your heart starts rejoicing because your emotions respond to what you're thinking. God designed us that way. If you're thinking of all that's going on in the world, your emotions are going to be torn. You're going to have fear. You're going to be wondering. And Satan just uses everything. He's the great distractor, right? So we need to stay in this word. We need to study it, rightly divide it. Why? So we can apply it, right? Apply this Word of God to our lives. That's how you grow. It's not what you know that helps you to grow. It's what you apply of what you know that will help you to grow. Let's go to Romans 10:17. And just for time, you just go ahead and go there. I'm going to say it. Ugh. Where did you get this water?
The tap. Oops, squirrels got. Oh, Paul, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, here.
Could you give me some from the thing?
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
She told me she didn't like the message I gave last week. What? I shouldn't have let her get me water. That's all right, Tracy. I'm just playing. Romans 10:17, what's it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you want to strengthen your faith? Get into the word. Keep coming to church. Hear the word of God, and not only the word of God, hear it rightly divided. Right? We need to know that body of truth to the body of Christ. Paul calls it mystery, right? And then take that truth and apply it to the details of our lives. So then we think about 2 Timothy 2:15, right? So if we want, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? If we want that sound edifice of doctrine and build that faith that we got something to draw upon when we go through tests and trials, then we need to get into the word. But if when Satan's attacking you, and you know, Paul talks about, I believe, a specific time, like when thank you, sister. Not like a little brandy. Wow. Just joking for you who don't know me out there. Yeah. So we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman. See, workman putting in the work. That's putting in the work in Scripture, and also I believe it's working, sharing the truth, God's word, with the lost, and also with the saved. Build them up in sound grace doctrine, right? Studies show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's very important. Go to Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. You see how the Holy Spirit will connect verses with verses, one true with one true. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things, right? Paul says, well, he's praying, go back, starting 16. So he's praying. In verse 14, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And what's he praying? And we should pray this for each other and ourselves. He's speaking of God, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. See, God shares his riches with us, his spiritual riches. You know, Joel Steen, you can have your best life now. I'm grasping on and digging out through Bible study these spiritual riches we have, these treasures that we have. With glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man, right? That's, see, God's not working in signs and wonders out here. He did that with Israel. Israel, they demanded signs, didn't they? Didn't God bring them up on signs and wonders when he brought them out of Egypt? Think all them wonders he did, you know? And so here, the Holy Spirit's working in our inner man. Why? That Christ may dwell in your hearts, what? By faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Paul talks elsewhere about Christ's, was it in Colossians? That Christ may dwell in. It's a word that means live comfortably. See, Christ is comfortable in us when we're living by faith. Do you know that? It's like, takes his shoes off, or, you know, when you think about somebody, like when you get home, you don't get comfortable, you know. Some people don't know when I do my, I shouldn't even say it, because if anybody out there watches on Thursday night at my Bible study, sometimes I even got shoes on, but nobody can't see, because I'm comfortable. It's my house. We do it from our apartment, right? But I always wear pants. Just in case I gotta run to the washroom. So he's working in our inner man, that Christ may dwell. That's it. That's the verse. Right before me. That Christ may dwell, live comfortably in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. That's what God wants to produce. True faith. See, we live by dependence. We live by faith, right? In Christ. We trust Him to live His life. And He's in us and live His life through us, right? So, He wants us to be being rooted and grounded in love. We don't got the kind of love that God has, do we? And it's taught, you got to love yourself more or you can't love others. Christ didn't say that. He said, love others as you already love yourself, because you're selfish. That's what the flesh says. Oh, I got to love me. I got to take care of me. Me. The most depressed people are focused on self. You know, I won't mention the name, I did marriage counseling years back with the couple. And so what I do in marriage counseling, I go with the guy first, or the woman, it doesn't matter. And I listen to them, what's the problem, you know, why their marriage was struggling. So the guy didn't have a lot of complaints. You know, some guys don't see problems a lot. You know, and as long as they're fed and, you know. But anyway, the woman, and I want to watch out and say a name, you know, like I did last week. I said, I'm going to say a name now. So I didn't mean to say the name. But anyway, she was like, me and I and my and everything was me. And I says, I didn't know what your problem is right away. You're self-focused. That's flesh. And she says, I don't think I want to continue this session. I said, oh, you're going to finish it. I didn't charge you no money. I came all the way out here. We're finishing the session. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But love is not selfish, is it? Love does what's best for the one being loved. God's kind of love. Christ's love. Did Christ do what was best for Him? What would have been best for Him? Stay in heaven. Not come and Christmas time's coming up, you know. Notice my red sweater. I ain't wearing it no more because my jacket, when I drive, it wrinkles it. And then I come up here and people are like, he wears a, can't even put a nice shirt on, all wrinkled up. God's not looking on our word now. I forgot where I was going with that. Let's just keep going. Now, Paul, if you know, this is what I'm talking about, context. If you know this chapter, he's been just explaining about the mystery. Just jump back real quick. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul, to who? You were. He's writing on the body of Christ, right? The Ephesians. How that by revelation, he's talking about Christ, made known unto me the mystery as I afore in a few words. And whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then jump down to verse 9. Or verse 8. Unto me, just for time, who am less than the least of all the saints. See, Paul's very humble when he speaks of his personhood. But when he speaks of his office that Christ gave him, he said, I magnify my office, right? And we don't ever worship Paul. We worship Christ. But we follow Paul as he follows Christ, because Christ said Paul. And Christ even told his kingdom apostles, if they don't receive you, then they're rejecting me too, in so many words. And the overall church today, I'll tell you, is not following Christ. They go, oh, I follow Christ. I don't follow Paul. No, you ain't. Because Christ sent Paul. And Paul writes the commands of Christ. Did you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Christ never wrote one word? You ever think about that? Matthew's recording what Christ said. Luke is Luke is a great historian. He wrote the book of Acts too, right? Acts. That sounds like only chapter 2. Acts 2. Anyway, Mark and John, they're writing what Christ spoke to who? The nation Israel. Paul writes what Christ taught him for the body of Christ. You know, you got to get that. And overall church don't get it. They reject Paul's apostleship, unique apostleship to the body of Christ, and thus they reject his message. And then they mix kingdom with grace. Right? God's kingdom early program or God's heavenly program, and now it becomes another gospel. And Paul says what? If anyone, even an angel, yeah, Joseph Smith that started the Mormons and got his golden tablets from Moroni, an angel. Even an angel comes with another gospel. Let him be accursed. There's a lot of false gospels out there. And they're hearing it this morning in church. And it's a shame. You know, Israel got into a lot of idolatry, right? I just got done studying through the Old Testament. And they fell into idolatry over and over and over. And you say, how could they do that? Well, how can the body of Christ let the world come into the church? How can the body of Christ, churches in the body of Christ, if you want, individuals, some ain't. You know, in every church, I think there's saved people and some ain't saved. Yeah. Just because somebody sings in the choir or is even teaching adult Sunday school class or children's class, don't mean they're saved. Just mean they're doing something, right? You got to trust in the gospel Christ gave Paul to be saved, right? And so he says, now Paul's talking about the mystery, right? Christ gave him, right? So the whole first of the chapter is what? About the mystery and how Christ gave it to Paul and his knowledge in it. Now he switches to love. Right? Let's go to our verse again. And
Seventeen.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. He switches, right? But he's not really switching. He's explaining something. Listen to this. Maybe in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. This is the Holy Spirit wants us to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And I think he's talking about the mystery. That whole body of truth. Understand the height, the depth, the width, and the length of it. That whole body of truth. And then something's going to happen. When you really understand it, not just facts. When grace grasps your heart, look what you meant. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants, the mystery, that whole body of truth that Christ gave to Paul, to fill our hearts so the Holy Spirit can produce love in our lives, that we reach out to lost, that we love each other, that we love our families, we're there for each other. That we sacrifice, not, I need time for myself. You know, maybe a month would be good to get away from the kids, right? I need to do a Calgon, a mom I'm thinking of, a Calgon bath while the kids are out there all filthy and eating dirt. I need time for myself. You know what I mean? You deserve it. Ain't that what Burger King says? And the commercials? You deserve a Cadillac. You deserve a BMW. It's your best life now, ain't it? Nah, it's love is sacrificial. That's why the closest thing, I think, that you'll see to God's love is a good mother's love. Because she'll put her kids, I've seen Mary do it, and they're not even little. They ain't that tall. about my size. But still, she'll put them before herself. She does the same thing with me. And that's why I always pray, God help me love her like he wants me to love her, because she's not only my wife, she's a child of God, God's daughter. And when we look at each other that way, if you're married to a saved person, then they're God's child. How does God want his children to be treated? Forgive as you've been forgiven, right? As dearly loved children, be imitators of God, right? So, Paul says, and to know the love of Christ, see, the Holy Spirit's got to illumine our mind to this, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I always say, can you be filled with all the fullness of God and not be filled with the Spirit? That's what he's talking about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not against our will. He doesn't overrule our will. God who works in us both to will. He works within our will. And he reminds us of his love and his grace and how amazing. Why does he want anything to do with us? You ever walk, you see a worm on the ground or ants, and you sometimes just keep walking, right? What do I care? They're little bugs, right? Cockroaches. Right? But God doesn't look at us like that. Compared to him, oh man, who art thou that thou art mindful of him? I think about that a lot. I pray that to God. That you want a relationship with me? You want to have intimacy with, you want me to have intimacy, intimate, you know what I'm saying? Intimacy. Thank you, Bill. You didn't come up short on that one. It's just amazing. That's why it's amazing grace, isn't it? God wants daily, every minute, every second, for you to grow more intimate, and me, to grow more innocent and intimacy. Intimate with him. Going back to speaking in tongues like when I was Pentecostal. Anyway, so understanding the width, the length, the depth, and the height of that body of truth, our Apostle Paul calls a mystery, it's going to help us to understand the infinite love of God, and it's going to ground our spiritual lives in it. Turn to Romans 16:25. Now to him that is able, that is of power to establish you. So that idea, establish, in the King James, or in my New King James says establish you. It's a balanced, settled, solid, immovable spiritual condition and walk. What does that? Now to him that is able to, power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul's gospel. See, it's a unique gospel. It was never known in other ages. You know, it's so easy to get saved today, ain't it? Yes. You know, man has always essentially been saved by grace. If God didn't intervene, nobody from Adam on to Revelation could be saved. But there was different information how to be saved. They had to bring animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, right? They had to, keep the law, this and that. And when Christ came on the scene, they had to get water baptized, right? John the Baptist came on the scene, and he was the forerunner for Christ, right? And he was, repent for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent and be baptized. Christ was, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Had to be baptized, right? And they came confessing their sins. They came being baptized by him. And it didn't change at Pentecost, right? At Pentecost, what did Peter say? Right after Pentecost, Acts 2. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. He didn't say through the blood of Christ. that we have redemption, Ephesians 1:7, that Paul tells us, and in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So you got to get the right gospel, right? There's people who they think the word repent means turn from all their sins, because that's taught like that. Repent in the Greek, metanoia, has the idea of a mind change. That's all. I go from unbelief to belief. So Israel had to go from unbelief in Christ as their Messiah and King to belief, right? But they had to get water baptized because God gave that. That didn't save them. It was Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You know, anyone who has ever got saved, that's the reason they got saved. But they didn't know it back then, right? They didn't know it in the Old Testament, right? We know it now. Because Paul says that men are going to be judged according to his gospel. You know why? Because Paul explains everything. He even explains the law. Praise God, and we got it in Scripture, right? So he says, now to him that is able to, that is of power, I start talking fast because I watched that ugly clock. Not ugly, but it's big. Now to him that is of power to establish you, how? According to my gospel and what? And the preaching of Jesus Christ to the nation Israel and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't, does it? How come all the churches, not all, the majority, let me say, this morning are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Or the real poppin' churches are in Acts, early Acts. Get them signs and wonders, right? Then start running around the church later and everybody's speaking in tongues. And Paul even said when they were going on, only two or three speak, and then you got to have an interpreter, right? The church I went to, after the church service, they get on the piano and the drums, and they start working the people up. The beat, what's that song? Something at the beat. So anyway, and all of a sudden, people start running around the church. They're in front. They're getting hit on the head. They're falling down. You know, they call it slain in the spirit. And to me, I look in Scripture, and Scripture says the Spirit came to give you life, not to slay you. And they're shaking and all that, trying to go back to Pentecost, right? Instead of going on to Ephesians, that high grace truth. So what did he say? And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Christ revealed it to Paul and Paul to us. That's what's going to establish you. That's what, when you really get a hold of it and you start applying that body of truth to the details of your life. We're not going to do it perfect. But as you take one thing and apply it and do it over and over and over, it's like in martial arts, it's called muscle memory. You know, when I first started, you know, in martial arts in my many years ago, in my 20s, you know, you first would do something and it would be like, okay, right punch, all right, I got a block. Then what? Chop. All right. All right. After a while, because you do it over and over and over and over, you don't got to think. And you do it in lines, you know, when somebody comes and swings at you, and all of a sudden, pop, pop, right? It's muscle memory, and that's the same thing in the spiritual realm. As you take this word of God, you apply it, you rightly divide it, so you can wield this double-edged sword, right? When Satan attacks you, when you get attacked by his ministers that transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, right? So you know how to defend yourself, and you know how to take this word and help. It's like medicine to help people when they're going through things. How can we thank God when we're going through a bad situation? No, I'm asking you. She's all looking at me for the answer.
Romans 8:28.
Romans 8:28. God's working together all things for your good. If he doesn't cause things, but when he allows you to go through something, and usually what do we say? Why, Lord? Why me? I've been going to church, and you know I've been giving the offering, you know. Why? Instead of like, Lord, I don't understand this, but by faith, I know you're faithful. And I'm trusting you, and you said you're working for my good. So I can rejoice even in that situation. And you know what God does? The God of all comfort and mercy, right? He comforts us in all of our tribulations, right? That we might be able to comfort others who are going through any troubles. That's how God prepares you for ministry. As he teaches you through his word how to deal with facing obstacles and facing maybe physical pain, emotional pain, whatever it might be. He equips you for raising your kids through the scriptures and to be a good husband and wife. A good uncle, you know. And who better to help an abused woman than somebody who was abused, right? Who better to help somebody who was sexually abused as a child than somebody who was sexually abused as a child? God brought you through. And now you live victorious. You don't go doing drugs saying, I do drugs because I was molested as a child. Well, I'll tell you, I was. And I ain't doing drugs no more. I used to. Because you don't got to whine and cry. God brought me through that. He brought me through suicidal thoughts that went on for months. He brought me through drugs. He brought me through with guns put to my head in the hood. Being chased by 15 guys with baseball bats. And he brought me through that. Am I going to whine? Oh, my poor childhood. You know, that's why I love Cook County Jail. With the ministry there. My past was able, them dudes could relate. I said, look, I ain't some dude from Moody Bible Institute in a bow tie. I grew up right across the street with rats, roaches, because I lived right across the street from Cook County Jail. That was a neighborhood I grew up in, the worst neighborhood in the city at the time. I said, dad and mom divorced, drugs. And I said, and I made them choices. It wasn't because my dad left or the man, society. I made bad choices, and I said, and I made a choice to trust in Christ, not religion. And when I trusted in the gospel, and I give him the gospel that Christ died for your sins, you got to trust that. You can't save yourself. And he was buried and he rose so God could justify you, give you the free gift of righteousness. So it's justification on the life. Christ could come and dwell you by your spirit. And if he can do it in me, and I've probably done some things I tell them worse than some of you, and then they're all like this. And I'm like, I ain't going to tell you. Yeah. And I said, but if he can do it in me, he can do it in anybody. Yeah. But it's because of my past. See, if you had a past in drugs, who better to counsel somebody than you've been there, right? So, never get all the verses in. But that's all right. I think y'all get the idea? Yes. What this doctrine, that whole body of truth, sound grace doctrine in the mystery, what it should do? It should produce love. And in love, we minister to one another. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. I thank you for them times in my life, Father, that I didn't understand at the time, but you allowed me to go through it. You didn't cause it. Sometimes it's Satan who causes things, or we live in a fallen world and stuff happens, and we got our own flesh. Many times we make bad decisions, and then we got other people with sin natures. But Lord, I thank you that you turn everything around. You're so faithful and you're righteous, and you can't lie. And we can trust you in those things, Father. I thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place for our sins, because we couldn't save ourselves. And that he was buried and he rose again. and he ascended, and he's sitting at the right, your right hand in authority. And then for us believers, we're seated with him, high above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominion. What a wonderful grace privilege, Father, to be ambassadors for Christ here, and already citizens of heaven. And may you, I pray, Father, that you motivate us by your grace, that your love would compel us to just serve you and redeem this time while we're here, not get caught up in the things of the world. And I pray, Father, if there's one who's never trusted in your Son, that they'll make that decision now. Because I know if they leave this world without Christ, they're going straight to hell. And then if they trust in Christ to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, I pray they'll make that decision to believe he died for their sins. He was buried and he rose to, so you could give them the gift of righteousness and spiritual life. That's called eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.